I'm not technically intelligent.
Is that what that on and off button's for?
I'm glad they could get away for a few days. Took Cameron and went
Colorado, didn't they?
All right. But I'm glad you came this morning. I found my watch. When I preached a couple weeks ago, I didn't have it, and I got comments about dinner being cold. And two little boys were best friends. One was Catholic, one was Pentecostal Church of God. The little Pentecostal boy went to church with the Catholic boy, and every day, every time the priest would do something, the little boy would say, "What's that? What's that mean? What's that mean?" And the little Catholic boy did his best to explain what was going on. A couple weeks later, the little Catholic boy went to church with the little Pentecostal Church of God boy. And the little Catholic boy, never being around anything like that before in his life, kept asking the little boy, what does that mean? What does that raising their hands mean? What does that running around mean? What does that dancing mean? And the little Pentecostal boy would do his best to explain to the little Catholic boy what in the world it is that we do here. Finally, the preacher got up to preach, and he took his watch off, and he laid it on the pulpit. And the little Catholic boy said, "What does that mean?" And the little Pentecostal church boy, God boy, said, "That don't mean nothing." There you are, right there. That don't mean nothing. Turn the Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and just hold your finger there for a moment. I will get to my text in a moment. I appreciate everyone that does things for us here. Thank you so much for always having a bottle of water here. And Aaron for doing his job every Sunday morning, getting our services started for us. And our worship team always does awesome. We missed you guys last week, but your folks that you put in charge did a great job for us. So we appreciate them. The dictionary defines a dream like this: a state of unconsciousness, thoughts passing through the mind while awake or asleep, something that you do in church on Sunday morning. Oh no, wait a minute, that wasn't in there. I made that one up. To believe the impossible is possible. Now, it is true that we don't know much about dreaming. There's this extensive study going on in the medical world exploring the regions beyond our unconscious state. It has been discovered that most people dream. 90% of us have dreams. And it's also been concluded that we only dream an average of 30 minutes a night. Now that surprises me. Sometimes my dream seems like it goes on for years. Our dreams are as diverse as we are. Sometimes we dream stuff that's silly. I mean, it's just hilarious what we dream sometimes. Sometimes we dream things that just make no sense at all. Sometimes our dreams are just weird. Sometimes our dreams are scary. A few nights ago, my wife started kicking, and she started shaking, and she started groaning and carrying on. And I knew she must be having a bad dream. And I woke her up and I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "There's snakes after me." That's a scary dream. Sometimes we dream things we don't want to talk about. We can't believe we dreamed that. Sometimes we dream dreams we got to go pray through over. Sometimes we dream stuff that it seems so real that we actually get up and tell it as though it really did happen. Whatever the whatevers are, everybody does it. In fact, it is deemed necessary by the medical experts that people who dream live longer and live healthier. That's what the experts say. You look around today. Nothing that you see is here by chance. Somebody dared to dream big enough and follow through with that dream to bring all of this about that we enjoy today. Of course, you and I know that was Pastor Mike and Sister Diana. They rose above circumstances. They rose above criticism. They rose above ridicule to make an impossible dream become a reality. I just looked it up on the internet yesterday, and you know if it's on the internet, it's the truth. So I looked it up yesterday, and according to them, in 2017, there were 96 churches inside the city limits of Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Man, ain't nobody ought to be lost in Siloam. But you go back to 1983 when Pastor Mike decided and dreamed that there should be a Pentecostal Church of God in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, which there was not at that time, and very few of any kind of other churches. There were some, but not anything like that. But he began to dream a dream, and today we're enjoying the results of that dream. Thank God for dreamers. Henry Ford got tired of his wife putting salve on saddle sores every night. Got tired of riding a buggy from town to town. So he didn't invent the car, but Benz did that, of Mercedes-Benz, in 1885. But in 1913, it was Henry Ford that built the Model T, and 15 million of them were built over the next 20 years. It only took 2.5 hours to put a Model T together. So they were able to do it in rapid succession, and he dropped the price from $800 to $300 so everybody could have one. I'm so glad he followed through on that dream. The Wright brothers in 1903 decided that they could get from North Carolina to California a lot quicker if they could fly like a bird instead of going overland. So they flew the first airplane flight, went 20 feet in the air, lasted 12 seconds, and 120 feet long. Thomas Edison dreamed about reading beside something under a candlelight, and so now we have this wonderful electricity. Every convenience that you and I have is because somebody dreamed it and then saw it through. So what's your point, Miller? My point is, God, give us some dreamers. And I don't mean people in the state of unconsciousness. I don't mean Rip Van Winkles who sleep while the world and the church just keep going on, and they only wake up when time for a business meeting so they can vote no on stuff. I'm talking about people who dream dreams that make a difference People like Martin Luther King, August the 28th, 1963, 200,000 people. I'm going to get to my message in a minute. Just give me time. Stood at the Lincoln Memorial, and millions were watching by television. Others heard about it and read about the great speech that he made on that day. When he said this, "I have a dream." I'm not going to give you the whole speech. I've heard a lot of speeches in my lifetime by a lot of great people, but I think this, without a doubt, is one of the greatest speeches ever made. Ever made by anybody. He said things like this in his speech. "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls and walk together as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley will be exalted, every hill and every mountain will be made low. The rough places will be made plain. The crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith. Let freedom ring. When we let freedom ring in every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, 'Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty we are free at last.'" He never lived to see those dreams fulfilled. But because he dared to dream, people have been able to make great strides in righting many of the wrongs. We need dreamers of this magnitude in the Christian community today that are willing to lay down their lives for what they believe in. So let me talk to you this morning briefly about three types of dreamers in the world. The book of Genesis, chapter 37, look at verse number 5. Read that whole chapter, but I'm not going to for time's sake. Chapter 5 of verse 37 of the book of Genesis. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. I'm going to read that out of a different translation. All right, we're still there. Verse number 5. "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brothers said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words." Be seated, please. So number one, you have dream haters. people that will hate dreams. Anytime you begin to dream, you run into opposition. Not just from the enemy, but from those who are closest to you. Joseph's brothers hated him. I want you to remember this. Most of the time, the hate comes from those who have no dream of their own. They don't have a dream. They don't want a dream. To dream means to work. To dream means sacrifice. To dream means money. And people without a dream want things left alone. Back in the year 1970-something, we were pastoring a church in the southern part of the state. And I got up one day and I began to share what my dream was for that church. It was a country church, and we weren't very large in number, but God began to move and began to work, and we saw things happening. So God showed me in a dream what He wanted us to do. And so I got up and began to share with the congregation the dream I had for our church. I had one little precious lady, godly lady, got up and she said, "Pastor, I don't like that." She said, "I love our little church. And every time I would begin to talk about doing things different or changing things or those sort of things, she would stand and say, 'I love our little church. I don't want to grow. If we grow, we lose personal contact.'" Chris, people are still afraid of that. See, I have a dream of this building being so full that we got to put chairs up when Pastor preaches, or we got to build another building. We got room to do that, but I have that dream for God's church. But there are going to be those who will say, "But I love our little church because we know everybody." When we went to pastor another church in Ashdown, Arkansas, farther south, church wasn't doing well, but after we had been there for a while, God began to bless us. We began to grow, and we had a church van. And on the back of that church van, the former pastor had taken it and had these words put on there: "Friendliest little church in town." It reminded me of another little place in Texas that they made a movie about. So one day I was washing the church van, and my youngest daughter, Heather, was helping me, and she was about 8 years old. And I said, "Hun, I want you to take this SOS pad, and I want you to wash the back of the van off good for me." So after a little while, I hear her hollering, "Daddy, Daddy, come quick." And so I run around to the back of the van, and lo and behold, did you know that an SOS pad will take the paint off a vehicle? So all of those words, "friendliest little church in town," was suddenly all scratched up. And I said, "Oh, baby, I tell you what, just go ahead and wipe it all off so it'll look even. And I'll explain to the board what you did." And so that little sweetheart, she went to work, and she got every bit. It was bright yellow on a maroon van, so you could see it from 300 miles away. Everybody wanted to know about that little church in Ashdown. See, to dream means to change things. So I'm not sure I want to be a dreamer. It means combining Sunday school classes on Sunday morning and putting everybody in the same corral and teaching from a lesson by the same teacher. Well, I don't know if that's going to work or not. Who cares if it works or not? We need to dream about doing some things in order to draw people into the kingdom of God. The favorite verse of a dream hater is, "I am God and I change not." That's been so taken out of context. God doesn't change His plan of salvation. Jesus died once for all. And that is the only way of salvation. God doesn't change His grace. It is sufficient for every need that we have. God doesn't change His mercy. His mercy endures forever. But God is constantly changing the way He moves and blesses His people. In the 30s and 40s, God moved in tent revivals. In the 60s and 70s, it was street people and Jesus people scared the organized church to death. 80s and 90s, we saw the charismatic and the new wave movements. Weird people started coming in off the streets with long hair and shorts and flip-flops and sleeveless shirts and worshiping God. And the organized church rejected most of that. And because of that, the organized church missed out on a lot of God's blessings. Now, the organized church is trying to do what the charismatics did back in the 80s and 90s, and God is already moving in a different direction. See, God will always do what is best and what is right, and we cannot reject others who see things a little bit differently than I do. Brother Paul, when I got the Holy Ghost, I got mine the old-fashioned way. I had to work for Him. Y'all remember that, some of you old folks? You couldn't come to the altar and get saved and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. You had to come to the altar and get saved, and then you had to spend the next 3 months coming to the altar and let somebody slap you around and shake you to death and beat you half to death trying to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. I said everything from chicky, chicky, chicky to semen tie, people tie. And every time I do that, that's how I believe He got it. We just couldn't accept the fact that people could come and you could lay hands on them and God fill them. Let me give you some late-breaking news. It ain't 1950. And what we did in 1950 was good. It was the cutting edge of what God was doing. But what we did then, probably not going to work now. And dream haters will come against you every time you start doing something different. Number two, you got dream takers. You got dream haters and you got dream takers. Look at verse number 19. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him, cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast had devoured him." we shall see what will become of his dreams. Look at verse 24. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And then verse 28 says, then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up out and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Hate wasn't enough. Now they got to discourage him. Not only people will hate you if you're a dreamer, they'll try to discourage you and stop you from dreaming. We had a lady in our church at Gentry. If I called her name, y'all would know her. She came to me. She had four kids. Three of them were teenagers at the time. She was on a dead-end job making minimum wage because she was a single mom with no education. She came to my office one day and she said, Pastor, I want to go to college. I said, well, go. She said, but I've got, she gave me all that. And she said, and then so-and-so said this and so-and-so said this. And I said, listen, if that's your dream. And she said, I've dreamed all of my life of going to college. But she got married right out of high school, started having kids, and that was the story. And now she's got these teenagers, and she said, I've got a minimum wage job trying to take care of four kids. So she said, I'm going to enroll. She enrolled at JBU. She was able to get help to do that. The church bought her a car so she could drive back and forth from Gentry to school. She made the dean's list. She earned scholarships. She graduated with honors. Today she has a wonderful job that she's been at for more than 20 years. Don't let somebody tell you you can't do it. Dream your dream. And I don't care if it's been 10 years ago or 20 years ago, keep dreaming the dream. God will provide when the time is right. I went back to college when I was 50 years old. I'd already had 4 degrees, but I figured they hadn't learned me nothing yet. So I went back again. I'm sitting in classrooms with 18-year-olds. I'm older than the professor. All of my professors. My preacher buddies made fun of me, criticized me, said kind of things about me that hurt me deeply. But I said, I don't care. I have a dream to fulfill this. I don't use it. It's not important, but it was my dream. So I graduated with another degree. 5 of them don't mean nothing. Paper on the wall. Thousands of dollars spent. But if you dream a dream, stay with it and don't let anybody take that dream away from you. People will hate you for being a dreamer. They'll try to discourage you from being a dreamer. What do you need to do that for? Die a dreamer, not a wisher. Oh, I wish I'd have done. Oh, I wish I had a tried. I wish I had another chance. I wish I had more time. Evel Knievel, great theologian, said this. The possible will be done every day by ordinary people. The impossible will be done someday by an extraordinary person. That's me. That's what Knievel said. Don't be a dream hater. Don't be a dream taker. Number three, and finally, you got dream makers. That was Joseph. Hated by his brothers. They tried to steal his dream. They put him in a pit. He got sold into slavery. He went from there to the prison. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 20 and 21 says this. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. Now watch this. Watch what happens to people that dream, even though they have to go through terrible circumstances and everybody's against them. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. If anybody had a right to give up, Joseph did. Things were not working out quite like he dreamed as a kid. Years pass. The situation gets worse, but he just kept dreaming. You know how the story ends? Joseph interprets the king's dreams. He gets a promotion to second in command of the whole kingdom, and then this famine hits. Now look at Genesis chapter 42 and verses 8 and 9. So Joseph, his brothers had come, and his dad and all of that had come to get help. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them, and he said unto them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." And then you know how the story concludes. But here's the important thing. He never forgot his dreams. He stayed in there, though everybody else fought against him. His family sold him out, lied about him. He got to the palace and Potiphar's wife lied about him. He got put in jail. Those that were in jail that were going to help him forgot about him. But he just kept dreaming. I wonder what would have happened to him if he had let his dreams die. I wonder how many Billy Grahams and Billy Sundays and D.L. Moody's and Charles Spurgeon's and John and Charles Wesley's gave up along the way because they were hated for being dreamers and hated, and someone tried to take it away from them. And the world was robbed of their ministries, and we're never going to hear their sermons preached or their songs sung. Kevin, I wonder how many pastors dreamed about starting a church in a place that needed a church. But they got so much opposition that the dream died. I wonder how many churches never grow. They just remain status quo because people are afraid to dream big dreams. Abraham Lincoln made a few noteworthy speeches in his day. And in closing, I want to read one of them to you. Things he said in it. He said, "You can't bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. You can't strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You can't help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer." I wish those folks in Washington would read this. You can't help the poor by discouraging the rich. You can't keep out of trouble by spending more than you earn. You can't help men permanently by doing for them what they can do for themselves. You can't envision the future by destroying the dreams of today. What kind of dreamer are you? Have you dreamed about, even maybe years ago, you had dreams about certain things, and you've never seen that come to pass? yet. And people have told you, well, forget about it. Just go on with your life and forget about it. And you've not been able to do that. Listen, keep dreaming. Stand with me this morning. I have a dream that men and women, boys and girls that need Jesus will come into these altars and find that deliverance and relationship that they need. Kelly, I have a dream that people who are sick and diseased can stand on the authority of God's Word and still come, Brother Aaron, and we can lay hands on them according to the Scriptures in James, and they shall recover. I have a dream. I have a dream that these young people are going to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and this world is not going to hell in a handbasket. I have a dream that we're going to be able to worship God with a freedom and a liberty, and the Shekinah glory will fall in this place. And whether you come to an altar or whether you stand in your seat, you feel God touch your life. Let's pray. Father, give us dreamers today. Give us those who say, I have a dream. I dream one day that I'll be a preacher of the gospel. I dream that one day I'll be a teacher. I dream one day that I'll grow up and marry a godly individual. I have a dream, God, that I'll get a job and I'll be able to take care of my family better than what I have now. I have a dream. And I'm not going to let that dream die. I've dreamed it for years. Just wait. They that wait. Don't push. Don't get ahead of God. Wait on God's timing. And remember your dreams. Father, touch hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Let me say to you, heads still bowed, and I'm done. But let me just give opportunity for those. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus today, and you've dreamed about a better life, you've dreamed about a life different than what you've been living, and you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart and in your life, because He changes things for you. He may not change things necessarily, but He'll change you. And you would like to have prayer this morning. Would you just raise your hand where you are? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I don't do that. It's not my place. We have a wonderful pastor. I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you again this morning. Touch every heart, every life. Let the dream live on. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless your hearts today. Thank you for being here. Pastor will be back next week. And services tonight at what time are we going on Sunday night? 6 o'clock, don't we? 6 o'clock. God has something very special for us tonight. So plan on being here. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly. Hug somebody's neck if they'll let you.